case this morning is Murphy v. McDonough, case number 23-1572. Done with our photo now. We had to get a photo since we have Judge Checky with us.
Thank you.
This is a big occasion. So our next case, as I said, was Murphy v. McDonough, case number 23-1572. Mr. Raven, whenever you're ready, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. This case is about a very strange question. What do you call employment in which the employer doesn't pay any wages and the employee doesn't do any work? Is that earned income if the veteran in this case is actually receiving workers' compensation? Workers' compensation under Section 4.16a is not income. It is a benefit. It is similar to Social Security. It is not marginal employment. It is not protected employment. It's not really employment. A person is employed for the purposes of being on the books in order to get workers' compensation.
Is it your argument that receipt of workers' compensation necessarily implies the veteran is not substantially and gainfully employed?
My argument is that receipt of workers' compensation demonstrates that a veteran is not receiving income. They're not substantially gainfully employed. 38 CFR 4.16 uses the phrase earned annual income to describe marginal employment, but there is no income. There is no earned income. Let me correct that, because that's the dispute between the Secretary and myself. Veterans benefits, workers' compensation, Social Security, investments, they're all income. So are wages. That's income. That's what you use to figure out whether a person is living in poverty, whether they're above the poverty threshold. But for the purposes of determining whether or not someone is eligible for a total disability rating based on individual unemployability, workers' compensation is not income. So this is the tough question. Someone who is employed but hasn't worked for years and receiving workers' compensation wants to file a claim for a total disability benefit based on not having substantially gainful employment, but they're receiving a benefit from the government like workers' compensation or Social Security. Workers' compensation is not taxed. It doesn't pay any payroll taxes. There's no federal tax for workers' compensation. It is not the same as a person's wage. It is often much less than a person's wage. And this is why Mr. Murphy filed his claim for a total disability rating based on individual employability, because he could not live off of what he was paid by the federal government for workers' compensation.
In terms of your position, do you have any specific case law that you'd like to cite to?
For what?
For in terms of income and how you address it vis-a-vis gainful employment, and more specifically, his workers' compensation benefits.
So there is no case that I found on point describing or defining earned annual income or whether or not workers' compensation is to be counted as earned income. But workers' compensation is not earned. So to go to your question, there is no case that I found that says that workers' compensation is income. Further, the Secretary could not find any case that says that workers' compensation is earned income. There's a distinction. We always get confused here.
Can you also address the threshold question of whether or not we have jurisdiction with respect to this appeal?
And specifically, I'm just going to add on the jurisdiction. You know, the finding, there appears to be a finding on page JA25 by the board that there's no indication the veteran was being paid workers' compensation in 1994 or 1995. Well, I mean, that seems like a fact finding that we can't review.
Sure.
And it's hard to get to your legal issue if that fact finding exists.
Right. In order to reach that finding of fact, the board relied upon, actually ignored a principle of law about whether or not the documents from OPM and the U.S. Postal Service demonstrated that Mr. Murphy was not working. He was employed, but not working. And because the board found that the letters from OPM, the Office of Personnel and Management, and the letters from the U.S. Postal Service, which are in the appendix, indicate that he was not working and that he was receiving workers' compensation.
Well, you know... But didn't he say in his application in January of 1995 that he was then employed and he had earned $22,000?
So Mr. Murphy's not necessarily, Mr. Murphy's not an attorney, but he did in his application, in the joint appendix, he did indicate that he was employed, which was correct. He was employed, but when it asked for what he was working, he put down what he was receiving from workers' compensation. Because as is true from OPM, OPM indicated that he last worked in 1992. He didn't understand that. And if you look at that if you look at that initial application, he writes in that he lost time for work. I've lost 3 years, last 3 years of work. So that doesn't square.
It's a fact finding, and our court cannot. We are limited in our jurisdiction here. And we are not able, it's an odd area of jurisdiction that we have, right? But we cannot review fact findings, and we cannot review application of law to fact. I can't understand how this is not a fact question.
Because the question is, the question is a legal question. It's
Which
whether
question
or not,
you say
the question,
my the question is whether the he question received is, workers' compensation.
Well, no, the question is whether or not workers' compensation, well, there are two questions. Number one, whether or not there is a presumption of regularity that attaches to government documents. For example, the board received letters from OPM and the post office saying that he stopped working.
So, but did they say that those documents were irregular or were not entitled to a presumption?
No, they didn't, but they disregarded them. They found that they were rebutted by the veteran's application.
How is that not a factual analysis?
Because they're ignoring the rule of law that it's entitled to the presumption of regularity.
I don't think anyone said that it's not an authentic document. I think they weighed the evidence before them.
Right.
So how would that not be a factual analysis or review?
I would just point out, I think that once the presumption of regularity attaches, it's not necessarily the application, it's just that they never accorded the evidence with the deference that's supposed to be accorded.
I think you want to have it have certain weight, and I understand that, but sure. I don't think the presumption of regularity tells you how much weight to give the document. It just tells you that it's a proper, authentic document.
But if you were to consider the absence of that document, for example, if they had written to OPM and they had asked, what is the nature of Mr. Murphy's employment? And they had written back, here's an example, he's been employed. There's no evidence he's received workers' compensation. The absence of receiving workers' compensation would be evidence that he never received compensation. Well, I mean, workers' compensation.
But you would be arguing in front of us. There is no substantial evidence to support the fact finding that he did not receive workers' compensation. That's what your argument really is, right? But that's something that we as a court don't have jurisdiction to review.
Well, I would respectfully disagree. I think that the issues are entitlement, whether or not workers' compensation is income for purposes of 4.16, and whether or not there's a presumption of regularity when VA receives documents from OPM. Thank you.
Let's hear from the government.
Good morning. May it please the court. I believe the court's seen right what this case is really about and has directed us to appendix page 25, which is exactly where we were planning to start this whole case. This whole case, Waller has been positioned by the appellant as a legal question as to whether or not workers' compensation counts as income and whether or not a presumption of regularity was interpreted correctly. Those decisions were not made by the courts below. Instead, as we see on appendix 25, the decision was a factual one. There was no evidence that he was receiving, and they say retirement benefits or workers' compensation. Because that is a factual determination as to whether or not workers' compensation is even at issue in this case, the board, the Veterans Court, never properly got to the issue of what is workers' compensation when it comes to earned annual income under 4.16. They found that the records from the veterans, from employer, do not indicate that income in 1994 or 1995 would have been such, meaning workers' compensation. Now, on appeal to the Veterans Court, Mr. Murphy raised these arguments, arguing about workers' compensation and whether or not it is income. And the Veterans Court, in Appendix 4, finds that even if they had found this issue, it's not clear what workers' compensation would be considered. But just because the Veterans Court notes this, that's not the decision. The Veterans Court then goes on to say the question is whether there was clear error in the factual determinations. They found no clear error. They found no proper argument of clear error. And so therefore, they found, applying law to fact, that there was no reason to reverse, remand, or otherwise correct the board's factual determinations. Based on this, this court lacks jurisdiction over this case. This is simply a case of factual issues. Was he receiving workers' compensation? The board found no. Application of law to fact. Did the board err in that determination, applying the law as it sits to how to look at factual questions for the clear error standard? And again, the Veterans Court found no. Well, Mr. Murphy also argues that there was, and this is on page 4 of his brief, the Veterans Court holding that records and responses from the Postal Service and OPM were not entitled to presumptive regularity. As this court just noted, that language does not appear in the Veterans Court decision. That language does not appear in the board's decision. There is no holding regarding the presumption of regularity. Even if there was, Mr. Murphy presents no arguments regarding whether or not the presumption of regularity should apply to the other records that the board considered in its factual determination. It did have an OPM record, which, as a government record, is entitled to presumption of regularity. We don't dispute that. But they also had letters from the post office stating that Mr. Murphy was still working up to the date that the board found he was still working. That letter is also a government record. That letter is also entitled to presumption of regularity, and it's up to the finder of fact, in this case, the board, to determine how to weigh the evidence. And as this court noted, the weighing of evidence is a factual determination that is beyond this court's limited jurisdiction.
I was going to say, to sum up, it sounds like often you all will say dismiss for lack of jurisdiction or affirm, but I feel like you're all in on dismiss for lack of jurisdiction. Is that fair?
We start with jurisdiction always in these cases, so I think this court should be, this should be a dismissal. If this court decides to go beyond the jurisdictional issue, there is no evidence of error at all by the Veterans Court. In that case, an affirmation would also be appropriate in this case. But this court, as it noted, has a very specific jurisdiction. There's a reason Congress limited that jurisdiction. And when we get to a jurisdictional question, we don't get to the actual merits of the case. We stop right there. So we do believe dismissal is appropriate. But as we argue in our brief, even if it wasn't, there is no evidence that earned annual income should be read to only include regular wages. The argument that it should be somehow limited does not appear in the language of 4.16. It would read language in that has not been put there. And it doesn't explain how to, the veterans, the VA should determine difference between income that's received as wages versus vacation pay, sick leave, family leave, workers' compensation. How are these not earned incomes and benefit a money paid by an employer?
And I believe your adversary in his papers had a phrase in there, living wage. Do you have any response to that?
I don't know where that language comes from. It's the first response. We don't see that language in the actual regulation. We don't see the language in any jurisprudence regarding this issue, and there doesn't seem to be much on that issue. We don't say that there is some case out there that decides this. But the living wage is, I don't know where that comes from. Instead, we, and I'll put this in our brief, have tried to find situations where there's similar language that this court can rely on to sort of look at the plain language standard. One of those we point to, it's not exactly a perfect match, but under 28 U.S.C. section 32, earned income, close to earned annual income. We're not claiming it's the exact same language, but earned income is defined under that statute as wages, salaries, tips, and other employee compensation. We think that language is illustrative. Black's Law Dictionary also defines earned income and unearned income differently. Unearned income is income from investments, income that's not received from a job, whereas earned income is defined as money derived from one's own labor or active participation. We say workers' compensation fits that definition as well. So we have not seen any evidence, especially under plain language, which is always what we start with, interpretation of regulation, that earned annual income should somehow have a limitation applied to it that doesn't appear in the regulation. Instead, we think the court should look at that and consider the fact that the regulation specifically says this is a factual inquiry. Marginal employment, the question as to whether earned annual income is above the poverty level or there's some sort of marginal employment is a factual inquiry. So rather than saying, as a regulation, workers' compensation, you're definitely in, or without workers' compensation, you're definitely out, which will be a problem for many veterans who may not receive workers' compensation but may still be entitled to TDIU, we think that should be left to the board, to the RO, to the VA, to fulfill its obligation to do a factual inquiry when determining marginal employment. Unless there was any further questions, we ask that you dismiss for lack of jurisdiction or otherwise affirm.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Raven?
Section 4.16A, 38 CFR. For purposes of this section, marginal employment generally shall be deemed to exist when a veteran's earned annual income does not exceed the amount established by the U.S. Department of Commerce, Bureau of the Census, as the poverty threshold for one person. Earned annual income. Compensation is not earned. It's to compensate for not earning. And I realize that this court is focused on the jurisdictional aspect, but the issue that the veteran would like to present is that workers' compensation is not earned income for the purposes of determining eligibility for entitlement to TDIU. No questions? Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted on the briefs. We thank both counsel for their briefing and argument.